in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all
I wanna call this the summer of Giannis, but let's be honest, like it just doesn't feel like summer outside. Like, tough to be summer of Giannis when it's 42 degrees as I'm walking my dog before I come in and do the show this morning. Outrageous.
I thought I had put away the, like, light sort of fall coat, let's sure. call it, and just adopted the sweatshirt and shorts in the morning.
No. Mm-mm. I thought
rude awakening.
I thought my wife. So we keep, right by our back door, we have a door to the basement, and there's, like, a little coat rack and... I thought my wife's winter coat was gone. Uh-huh. And we've discussed, my wife is Puerto Rican. She likes it warm. Does not do very well with the cold. So while I was fine without a winter jacket today, that winter jacket was hanging back there last night because she took the dog for a little walk. Just brutal. Absolutely brutal. In the middle of May. Seriously, a week from today. It's Memorial Day. What are we doing right now?
Yeah, it's the official start of summer. It's
supposed to be.
It feels like we keep getting little tastes. Little tickles.
Oh, yeah. Like Friday.
Yes.
Friday, we just got that taste.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the wind changed. Bottom fell out of the temperature, and now we got this week on our hands. But
Is it supposed to get nicer?
I mean, eventually, I assume.
I meant like this week. Like, is this week all 50s?
I believe this week is all 50s, and then we can touch 60 for Memorial Day.
Love that. Love that for us.
We can touch it.
Do we have off on Monday?
We do.
Hell yeah.
We do have off next Monday.
That rules.
Yeah. I'm more worried about, like, Chewy showing up, not realizing it's Memorial Day. And he's not here today. He's up in Minnesota for a graduation for one of the kids. So, you know, just being Joshy with you this morning. And the summer of Giannis. I don't know if my expectations should be high or low or how I should feel about the news that came out this weekend. And in case you missed it, Chris Haynes, who's been pretty plugged into all things Bucks since Damian Lillard arrived, had this report about Giannis and the Bucks over the weekend.
I was told the Bucks made contact with Giannis Antetokounmpo early as this morning, and sources relate to me that a meeting is expected to be scheduled for mid next week. This is where Giannis is going to have the chance to speak with Bucks brass and talk about the direction of the team. And there's a lot going on with the Bucks this offseason. Knowing Giannis personally, one of the toughest competitors we have in this league, guy who has great ambition. He wants multiple championships. That's all he wants to do is be put in a position where he can play alongside a team that has a chance to fight for a title. This is going to be a very, very crucial meeting next week.
Okay, first of all, the beginning of that report... It's just weird the way the Bucks made contact with Giannis. Like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, the way that's phrased and the way it was said made it seem like, man, Giannis is a tough guy to get a hold of. Bucks finally got a hold of him, though. Finally made contact. It's like, oh, man, we made contact with the aliens. Oh, I can't believe we actually pulled that off. Made contact with another life form.
Yeah, is he in Greece currently? Is that sort of what it is?
I mean, like, he could be. With Giannis, you never know.
You're right.
I know he does spend a lot of his... off-season time in Greece, likes to go over there with the family, understandably so. But I don't know, with having a newborn, like,
right. It seems,
how much
it
they
want
to be jumping out of planes.
It seems to hint at like there's some consternation there, which I don't really think there is.
No.
There's no bad blood. Now, if things devolve, sure, that might end up happening. But like, as far as we know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they really haven't discussed what the future is going to look like yet. It's been all about what happened the previous season. You had exit interviews, that type of stuff.
Yeah, and this meeting, again, like Chris Haynes said, it is a big meeting. And it's happening now at this point because you want to let, you know, Giannis go and kind of, okay, unwind, be with the family, and just get away from basketball for a little bit. And the Bucks want to get their ducks in a row. They want to start develop what their plan is going to look like, whether that includes the gap year that we've talked about, that Eric Name pitched a week or two ago in his piece on The Athletic. Just, okay, what's our pitch going to be? What's our plan going to be for Giannis to kind of talk things through about what the future of this organization looks like? So they want to get their ducks in a row. That makes sense to me. And again, aside from the wording at the beginning of the report, the Bucks made contact to schedule the meeting. Well, yeah, they were going to make. We all knew this meeting was going to eventually happen. Like this is the pivot point. This is the big thing of, and maybe Giannis doesn't make a decision yet. I have no idea. But how do you feel now? Now that we know, at some point, middle of this week, so not today, not Friday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, the Bucks and Giannis are going to be meeting together. How do you feel about Giannis and the Bucks now that we know this meeting is taking place? 800-990-3776. If you want to get in on the Carlos talking text line. Jerry texting in saying he was golfing in Milwaukee with Chris Middleton last Thursday. All right, so he's still around in Milwaukee.
Nice. I wonder how Giannis is as a golfer.
Not good.
I was going to say.
I feel like I've seen him
swing a baseball bat.
Yes.
That looked tough.
That was tough. I feel like there was another video of him swinging a golf club. And again, all the athleticism that he has just doesn't translate. Not every athletic trait translates across every sport.
Yeah, being 7 foot just doesn't feel conducive to a golf swing.
Well, or a baseball swing.
Yes,
like the levers, it just doesn't.
Too much movement going on there.
There's a lot that goes into that.
This is, and it's not that it's new, but this makes me feel a certain level of nervousness because now it's real. Now is. If there was to be a separation, it starts
midweek this meeting.
Yes. It became a thing we were talking about as a possibility. And I mean, I said right after Chris Middleton was traded, we're now closer to ever of Giannis no longer being a Milwaukee Buck. And it feels like every single step we've taken has been another inch forward. Not saying we are now more likely than not that Giannis isn't a Buck, but it feels more real than ever. And having a meeting on the books, if for whatever reason the pitch to Giannis isn't adequate or he doesn't agree with it, this would be sort of the start of it. And what makes you nervous is you do have the gap year, as we've all called it, that Eric named deemed it. It's not the best plan.
No, but it's the reality of the situation,
correct,
though, Josh. Like, is it the greatest plan? No, but it has to be a part of the plan. It's the same thing with whatever the Celtics are going to do,
yep,
right? Like, whatever their future plans are has to include a gap year in 25-26 because they're not going to compete for a championship without Jason Tatum.
Right.
Like, and you've got 35, 33, 34, 35%, whatever the percentage is, it's close to a third or more of your salary cap tied up in a player who's not going to be able to play, and for Tatum, he's an all-NBA player. Damian Lillard, not on that level, certainly still really good. All-star, he's been an all-star both years with the Bucks. That you can't compete when you're spending that kind of money on a guy that you already know is not going to be able to play for you because of a devastating injury.
Right, and it's just, the plan isn't great, and that's what leaves you with there's a potential Giannis decides to move on, and I wouldn't blame him for a decision. I still think it's more likely than not he comes back. That loyalty is what it is to him. The way the city and the organization has treated him throughout his career, I think that's going to factor in heavily here. And there is a factor of Giannis has never approached, never struck me as the easy way out guy. I don't see Kevin Durant and just, I want to go build a super team so I can coast to championships. It seems like he wants to do it the right way. Now, the Bucks have to make a case for those championships being a realistic option in the future. Obviously, next year, not realistic. But they still have to make a compelling case because if he deems, I don't think it's going to happen here, I don't like the way the ownership's taking this, general manager, I think I'm better suited elsewhere, this is where it all starts.
Yeah, and it makes me uncomfortable. And we went around and asked, I think I said 60-40, he stays last week. And part of it, it doesn't make me feel good that part of my thinking that Giannis is going to stay here is that if Giannis goes to the Bucks and goes, okay, I want to leave, then the Bucks present options of, okay, here are the places you could go. Here's what we're going to ask for. And if they don't give it to us, like, you're going to go to the highest bidder. And wherever that ends up being, chances are, because we're going to have to take a lot from that team, your situation is going to be pretty similar to what we're looking at right now here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But that's relying on somebody else being bad. That's like every year, back when the Badgers were actually good at football, when, oh, we didn't know anything about the Badgers and the rest of the division that they were in the Big Ten seemed bad. Well, I mean, it's a bad division. Someone has to win it, so the Badgers will. And then inevitably they would finish third or fourth in the division because they weren't actually a good team. So it makes me uncomfortable in that same sense of part of this is wherever he ends up, it's not going to be just a plug and play. Like, oh, plug him in here, and now they're automatically going to be championship contenders because that team is going to still have probably work to do to try to remain competitive around him. And to be honest, they may have lost a potential suitor with the way things went down with OKC Denver yesterday. If the Thunder lose that game, who knows what they do if they decide to try to, fast-track their championship aspirations and use some of the assets, because they've got 1,000 picks. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder have 1,000 picks, and they've got young players, and they could have decided, you know what? We've been really good the last 2 years, haven't been able to get out of the second round. Let's go get Giannis. That's not going to happen at this point now, because they're in the Western Conference Finals, and they are the favorites to win the NBA championship. So that takes another suitor off the board, which honestly is good if you want Giannis to stay in Milwaukee.
Yeah, the next step here is us figuring out if he were to leave, where would it be and what would make the most sense? Because we can point to all the teams that would make sense, like on paper, of, well, that's a contender who could be pretty good. But what does that team look like after all the assets required? Like, the only way Giannis can realistically move would be bad. It would be bad for the Bucks because it would be like the result. I'm trying to say the result here would not get back what we think he's worth. And it would be disappointing to Bucks fans because the future would be even bleaker than we anticipated. Like, that's the only way he ends up going to one of those contenders and it doesn't end up ruining that roster that he's joining.
The other thing we have to factor in, for the longest time in the NBA, players have had a ton of power. We've seen people, you brought up KD, obviously was able to dictate his way to Golden State, to Brooklyn, then to Phoenix. But he dictated all of those. Same thing with LeBron James.
We forgot the Warriors in there.
Oh, yeah.
He dictated his way there as well.
First to Golden State. I'm not saying NBA players are powerless. I still think that they have a lot of power. But really, I think the last, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I'm sure the talking text line, the Carpool's talking text line will let me know. But the last time an NBA player really forced his way somewhere that he 100% wanted to go was his first option, was Anthony Davis when he went from the Pelicans to the Lakers. Think about it since then. Damian Lillard, his first choice wasn't Milwaukee. Now, certainly playing with Giannis was attractive to him, and it's not like he came kicking and screaming. But the reason why he ended up in Milwaukee as late as he did before training camp in that NBA offseason was because he was trying to find a way to Miami, was trying to get his way to Miami. The Heat tried to take advantage of that. Portland didn't like it and ultimately took a deal from Milwaukee. Jimmy Butler in Miami was trying to force his way, I guess, to Phoenix. I don't know why, because they were terrible this last year. But like, it took convincing for him to finally accept a trade to Golden State. Like, these are some of the bigger names in the NBA that have moved up. I mean, Luka's a different. Luka didn't force his way out. He just got straight up traded. So I have no idea if he preferred going to the Lakers. I think his preference was to stay in Dallas for the majority of his career, but he didn't get that either. But it seems like there's a little bit of power shifting back towards ownership and management in the NBA. And even if Giannis goes, hey, I want to go to whatever team, because he's under contract for 2 years, like, the Bucks aren't just going to let that team pay less than what they believe is the best offer for Giannis Antetokounmpo because of his contract situation. So that's the other thing to factor in, is even if Giannis goes, hey, I'm out, here's where I want to go, based on some of the things that have happened recently, I don't know if that is exactly what is going to happen.
You make a compelling case. There's 2 points I want to add to that. Two of those instances had the Miami Heat involved in them.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Heat, we could call right now probably a faltering franchise.
Yep.
One that's run by a guy who might be a little past his prime, who might not be the best in, because what happened with Dame was basically they were trying to bully them into a trade that wouldn't have gotten them what Portland thought they deserved.
Correct.
They thought they had all the cards and too bad, so sad. Guess what? You get Tyler Hero and that's about it. The other factor is Jimmy Butler. Like, Giannis is one of, what, three players in the NBA in terms of, he's a top 10 star in the world in terms of athletics.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Giannis were to put the pressure on, it's LeBron level in terms of.
But the difference is also when LeBron left, his contract extension wasn't just starting.
Right.
Like, because that's a big difference here. Having the 2 years guaranteed, there's a player option for a third year, but there's 2 years that he still has under contract. And the Bucks can go, hey, because I mean, it's going to be a gap year for them anyway. What do they care, right? Like, they can just go, hey, with Dame out, if you don't want to play either, like, that doesn't, it's no skin off our nose this year. Like, I don't know how much pressure Giannis can actually apply to go to his actual destination if that team doesn't offer a reasonable trade in return.
Here's the thing. I think he could. I don't think he's willing to.
That's because that's...
That would be
that's
full...
That's the other part.
You have to go... Giannis would have to go full, like, insubordinate, full...
Yes.
Blow this thing up, make it as bad as possible, make it as ugly as possible,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think happens because the Bucks do have that much control.
Ryan Maguango chimes in on the Carlos Talkett text line, 800-990-3776. Three-team trade, then he can go to a good team. Three-team trade is always going to be on the table, and not that Giannis would end up here, but a three-team trade involving the Pelicans, where the Bucks can get some of their first-round draft capital back, is something that I have heard from multiple people who know a lot about basketball. Again, that was just, that's just people speculating, not knowing anything, but going, hey, it would make a lot of sense to get New Orleans involved, and then the Bucks can get some of their own draft capital back. John says, trade Dame to Boston, bring back Drew. Look. I understand the love of Drew Holiday. I love Drew. We got a championship with Drew. Nothing would have changed the last 2 years if Drew Holiday was on this team. This team would have been worse. Was Drew Holiday versus Damian Lillard. That's the fact of the matter. Yeah, you would have different assets had you not made the trade. But like Drew Holiday, especially at this point in his career, at 34, like he wasn't an offensive player to begin with. Like, yeah, he's a good defensive player, and he was fine for a little bit as the third option. But this is a dude who just went 1-for-8 with 4 points and in a blowout loss when his team needed guys to step up offensively because Jason Tatum is out. And also, by the way, I don't think the Celtics are going to go, yeah, we'll have two guys out for the year with Achilles injuries.
Did I see this correctly? That also, like, because like the one case you'd made, they would improve, the Bucks would improve defensively with Drew. That there isn't a top 10 defense left in the playoffs, but every offense is a top 10 offense in the NBA. Where it seems like there has been a shift, however it is, through, hey, offense is just going to get you there in today's NBA. It's about outscoring the other team more so than holding them back.
It is. I mean, you can't be horrific on defense.
Right.
And we saw that a couple of years when Denver won. Like, they were a bad defensive team in the regular season, but everybody kind of ups the defense a little bit throughout the course of the postseason.
Effort raises.
And also play over the course of a 7-game series, like you figure out tendencies, you make guys, you know, so you get, you know, games where, like OKC Denver, who's got two high scoring, they both scored under 100 points game 3 or game 4. So, yes, the thought process right now in the NBA is you have to be really good offensively. You have to have shot makers. I mean, you can't be horrific on defense. But if you have a top-tier defense, like, that's only... The Orlando Magic had one of the best defenses in the league this year. Nobody took them seriously. Like, that's just how it goes.
Fair.
You need guys that can go out and get buckets for you. 800-990-3776 is the Carblish Talking text line. How do you feel? Your confidence level on Giannis staying, now that we know from the Chris Haynes report that Giannis and the Bucks are going to be meeting at some point this week, midweek. Again, to me, that eliminates Monday and Friday. Who knows what other day it happens? Maybe we get more information on that today. Maybe we get more on tomorrow. But the NFL also has some important things coming up. We'll continue to talk about Giannis. But We also want to talk about the NFL and what they're discussing this week. That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You
tell us, buddy. On 94.5 ESPN.
Of course, the NFL always rolling on. There's always news, but there was a little bit of surprising news that kind of came out of nowhere. And I'm surprised we didn't really hear about this the first time around. But we knew that at some point in May, after the previous owners' meetings, that at some point they were going to get together again and probably because they tabled the vote on the tush push, which the Packers had proposed. And Roger Goodell, obviously somebody who was against the tush push, probably whipping up the votes so they can ban that. That's kind of been on the back burner now. Whether or not that happens, I'm still assuming it happens at some point this offseason, because typically what Roger Goodell wants, Roger Goodell is going to end up getting in that league.
Here's the thing to add to that. If they don't get it banned, they'll find a rules violation that'll make it very hard for the Eagles to run it often.
Yeah.
Oh, be it offside.
Point of emphasis.
Yes. Yes. There will be some way for them via the rules to either stop them doing it as well or make it less effective.
Yes. So they're going to figure that out. But the Detroit Lions have a proposal out there. Something that I feel like even if every NFL fan has always talked about, how come they don't do it like this? And they do it like this in basketball in the NBA, where it's now one through 10 because you've got the play-in.
50.
Yeah, we've got the play-in, so you've got more teams that have the opportunity. But you are seeded based on your record. Yes, if you win your division, which I don't even know if anybody could tell me what the divisions in basketball are outside of Evan Cohen, who's an NBA nut.
Atlantic.
That's one of them.
I'm tapped. Central.
Because even when you, if you go to like ESPN.com, if you go to the standings page, it doesn't even show you like divisional standings. It just gives you what the playoffs would potentially
look like. I heard someone mention the Bucks standing within the division, and I was like, what? What is that? What's the relative? What's the nature of that? What does that matter?
I mean,
none.
No, doesn't really matter.
Which I think is informative to the conversation we're having right now.
Correct. But in the NFL, divisions do matter. Divisions have mattered for a long time because of the way they schedule. And then if you win your division, you get a home playoff game. But under the new proposal by the Detroit Lions, that would not be the case. Now, you would get in. Winning your division would guarantee you a playoff berth. However, it would not guarantee you a home playoff game. Instead, once they got the division winners, the three wild cards, those seven teams would be seeded based on their overall record. So that's the way that the Detroit Lions have proposed this. Apparently, they did throw that proposal out there, but it did not get very far, partially because they did not include the reseed in the first part. And the NFL already reseeds, which basically means, again, if you follow the NFL, it's not a straight bracket. We've always talked about it with the team, you know, that number one seed that gets a bye now. And this happened to the Packers 2 years ago. The Packers were the seven seed. They played the 2 seed Dallas Cowboys. They won that game. They were the lowest seed remaining. They went to the number one seed. And then the other two teams play. So that's basically what the reseed is the lowest remaining seed after the opening round ends up playing the top seed that gets the bye. And then those other two teams play. So that was missing from the first proposal. That would be included in this proposal that apparently is going to be voted on, whether or not they do this. And the fact that it's coming out so quick, Josh, makes me think this might have a little bit of support and could actually happen in the NFL.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. And I think keeping the addition of winning your division means you're automatically in still keep some sort of validity and some sort of power to winning your division and playing the teams against you. But it seems like we could be making our way here where it's basically divisionless football. Let's be honest. The travel is really not a thing the NFL cares about. They are sending no. however many teams to Brazil, to Europe, all across Europe.
Not just
yes. It's not the
UK
closest
anymore.
One anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're going to Germany. They're going to Italy. They're doing all these different things.
Where divisions made sense in the NFL when you were traveling by bus or small plane back in the day. The Big Ten, their travel schedule is they're going coast to coast. Yeah,
literally coast to coast.
All the time.
You've got Rutgers on one side, you have UCLA and USC on the other.
So the having to keep teams close because it is such a thing to travel is really not an issue for teams anymore. I do find it interesting. I don't know how many teams this would actually effectively change their futures for. Like, I was trying to build a case on why Detroit would care about this and would propose it, other than them just thinking this is probably a better way to do it. It's more equitable. It properly seeds team because, I mean, they've won. And it's not like they got bad matchups because they would have still played the team they lost to regardless of this whole division thing, right? In the playoffs last year because they lost to... Did they lose the Viking? No.
So the Lions ended up playing the Commanders last year.
Yes.
And I don't think that would have been the case this time around because Detroit still would have been the one seed.
Yeah.
Philly would have been the two. Minnesota the three. Washington the four. Green Bay the five. Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, I don't know how that would have played out with the tiebreakers.
Yes.
They're both division champions, worse records. They would have been 6-7.
So they would have gotten to play one of those teams at the bottom there?
It's completely different matchups. We have no idea.
Right, okay, yes.
Completely different matchups.
Gotcha.
So we have no idea how that would have all played out. If Tampa Bay or LA would have won their game, and the Rams did, the Rams beat the Vikings, you know, maybe they end up playing the Rams in the second round.
This honestly feels like a pretty good way to do it. You still keep, because I think losing the divisions and the rivalries would be a big mistake for the NFL. I think they've been able to effectively carry those. Like, the Packers are, you can say, rivals, whatever, but you get up for a Bears game. You get up for a Vikings game.
Yes.
You get up for a Lions game. Then those games would still matter because even if your division's having a down year, you're still in the playoffs. So it still matters to win that. And then winning more just means, hey, we get a better matchup in the playoffs. I think this is sort of the right way to do it and the right way to break things out here, where you still have those rivalries, those games still matter, and you just... But the one thing I'm struggling with is, how often does it happen where a division winner shouldn't be seated where they are? It's like...
I mean, I think with the addition of a seventh team, like, again, I just pointed out last year... All the wild card teams ended up having better records than two divisional champs, than the Rams and Bucks. The Commanders, Vikings, and Packers all had better records. But my issue with this is, because the divisions matter so much, because also, like, you're playing fairly similar schedules.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, the Packers, they're going to be a couple of games here or there that are different. The Packers in third place, you know, end up playing the third place team in the other two NFC divisions that you're not playing that year. But the schedules just get to be so inequitable.
Yeah.
Like, last year, the Packers and the NFC North got to play the AFC South. Stinky division.
Yep.
Bad division. Right? So, did their record get a little bit inflated because they got to play a bad AFC division, where maybe the Buccaneers or Rams, because they played a better AFC division, their record was tamped down because they had to play some better teams? So that's the only thing that I say. I think that is more equitable, but, like, you can't do equitable scheduling across the NFL. You're just not playing enough games.
Right.
To make it all equal in the NFC, because you want to have those games against AFC teams where you're playing them every 4 years and things like that. So I still kind of like having you win your division, you get a home game. Like, I kind of like that just because how schedule dependent a lot of times your schedule ends up being, And if you play the bad teams in the AFC or a bad team in the NFC, that can kind of overinflate your record and how good you actually are.
Yeah, but I think you could make the same case of if you play in a bad division, beating up on your... I mean, that was a thing people said about the Patriots for long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they bucked that by, you know, going out and winning every Super Bowl imaginable.
When you have a 10-year drought of Super Bowls, but you still go to a couple...
Yes.
You know, and then you won three on the front end of that, three on the back end between the 10 years, too.
But if you look at, say, the AFC South, say the Houston Texans get their head figured out, they get their head screwed on straight, they could just mow down the rest of that division.
Yeah.
And be a, like, 13-win team and kind of not really play that good of opponents. Like, we see that happen all the time where it seems like, hey, this team's pretty good. They're just mowing, and then they end up being paper tigers.
What if the NFC North just beats up on each other all year?
Correct.
And because of that,
it goes
like,
both ways.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the NFC North beats up on each other all year. Now, we know that, you know, two or three of the teams are really good, but the records don't reflect that because
right.
they beat up on each other, and now they get seated. Now they don't get a home game because they beat up on each other. I like the emphasis that the NFL has had on divisions, and I don't think the seeding has mattered to me all that much. If you're the best team in the NFL, you're going to end up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the seeding has really mattered.
And also, the teams that generally make the Super Bowl, they're a one seed, two seed.
Yeah.
Sometimes, occasionally, a three seed if something wild happened throughout the year. But yeah, it seems like the end result generally is a reflection of who the best teams are. And it's very rare that a team like the Commanders kind of gets through in that way. And I mean, they had to beat good teams to get there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like they were playing nobodies and kind of lucked into it. They played some big games. They beat teams that were supposed to be better than them. It sort of feels like we're fixing something that doesn't necessarily have the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like this has been a conversation that we've had every other year in the NFL.
Yes.
You know, when you have a division winner like the Texans, who are 10-7, and you know, wild card teams could be seated ahead of them, or in the NFC, as we explained, all three wild card winners having 11 or more wins, and there were two division winners that had 10 wins. So it only comes up probably every other year, I would say, where this conversation happens. But I don't know if it's really that big of an issue. Because the first thing that I think of a team that had, you know, they were below .500, they were 7-9 and got to host a playoff game, everybody thinks of these Seattle Seahawks. You know, and Marshawn Lynch has that big run against the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, everybody in New Orleans, oh man, it's unfair, we had to go on the road. Team 7-9 beat them.
Yeah.
It's a bad team. Just beat that team and they beat the brakes off of you. I don't have that. I like the emphasis on the division because I think it has made those rivalry games mean just a little bit more. And if you go to, yeah, you still get in the playoffs, the division games are still going to matter because it's the NFL and it's rivalries. And it's not obviously just an NFC North thing, you know, when the Ravens and Steelers play each other and all those other teams across the NFL, like those are going to mean something. But I think I'm not going to be really upset if they go and pass this. It's just something that I haven't spent a ton of time thinking about.
I think there's also a hard truth here that I don't think any real football fan, unless you're like an Eagles fan or a Chiefs fan or one of the perennial contenders, there's about five teams that matter in the NFL. Very rarely is the Super Bowl winner going to be one of those other than the five teams. Like, what was the last time we had a true surprise Super Bowl winner? By the time you got to the playoffs, you looked at the matchups and you went, huh, I can't believe that team made it there. I can think of teams that made it to the Super Bowl but ended up losing that were surprises, like the Bengals.
Yeah, I was about to say the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals were good, but they were like that, that team that got hot was unexpectedly there.
Maybe the Giants?
I mean, I would probably say the Eagles first time around, and that was
a good
Eagles team, but because it was a backup quarterback.
Yes.
And that backup quarterback's name was Nick Foles.
Right. Yeah, so it seems like we try and make the case of, like, this team might be getting the raw end of the deal, but the cream rises to the top in the NFL, mm-hmm. seemingly more than even other leagues. where you'll have an occasional surprise there, but very rarely does that team win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just going back to February 2020, Chiefs, Niners, okay, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Rams, Bengals. Bengals the only surprise team so far. Yep. Chiefs, Eagles, Chiefs, Niners, Eagles, Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, what? There's only one surprise team there.
Right.
Going back to the start of the decade, and that's the Bengals. So, yeah, I think you're right. They're looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't necessarily exist. We'll see if it actually gets passed in the NFL. Nicholas on the Carpool's talking text line saying, do divisions really matter, though? You play a third of your games against them. Maybe if they played more, it matter more.
See, so, you pay one of those teams three times? What's the proposal? I don't necessarily understand it.
Yeah, I don't know. Ben asking, it's Monday. Is Chewy hungover? Maybe.
Probably.
It's possible.
Based on some of the texts I saw over the weekend, there's a good chance
of
hang.
Very, very strong. But this was a scheduled off day for the big guy. This is he had put in through the proper channels to take off. They have a kid graduating from the University of Minnesota, so he's up in the Twin Cities for a Monday graduation. A Monday graduation, which is something I had never heard of before.
I kind of like it.
Why?
Extra day off. Long weekend.
Fair enough.
I guess if, especially depending on, you know, if you're a school that isn't as doesn't have as many local kids there, you get to spend the weekend with your family in the city you're graduating from. Graduation Monday, you head home after, it's all wham bam done.
Yeah, okay. And again, when you're as large as some of these schools are,
right,
like, you have to do this over multiple days,
right,
because you can't just be reading an entire graduation class crossing a stage, so you got to break that up a little bit. So that's where the big guy is, just in case you were wondering. Trey Hendrickson. We're doing the thing again. Why are we doing this thing again?
I love doing the thing.
Yeah, I know you do, but we're going to do the thing. We're going to do that next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense,
why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN. I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like a sex that's bringing me down. I went to a...
I just don't know what to do about any sort of Trey Hendrickson stories anymore. Look, I admit, I know, Trey Hendrickson, I believe, would be a great fit on the Green Bay Packers. I am not the only one who believes this. A lot of Packer fans believe it, but Matt Bowen over at ESPN.com believes it. Had a story this morning saying best NFL team fits remaining free agents and trade candidates. You know, so he runs through the Keenan Allens and the Aaron Rodgers and guys like that who are free agents. But then he gets to the top trade fits, and there are a couple of Packers connections here. Jair Alexander, best team fit would be the Los Angeles Chargers, but at this point I would think the Chargers would just wait for Jair to be cut instead of giving something up for him. But who knows how that's going to end. But also, Trey Hendrickson, best team fit, Green Bay Packers. Why are we doing this?
I'll tell you why we're doing it, because it gave me validity. It gave me a glimmer of hope of, hey, we weren't just talking about stuff to talk about it. The fit's there. It makes sense.
Yeah, the fit's there until you get to the age portion.
That's fair.
And that's, I think that my mind changed on a lot of this. Again, that's not the same position, but they had a position of need at wide receiver. When Goody didn't even pick up the phone and call anybody from Davante Adams' camp, it proved to me that, hey, if you're over 30, Goody ain't interested. And look, I don't think you'd have to give up that much at this point for Trey Hendrickson.
No.
Like, I don't think it's going to be a first-round pick. If somebody called up the Cincinnati Bengals and offered a first-round pick for Trey Hendrickson, he would no longer be a Cincinnati Bengal. I'm pretty confident of that, because it doesn't seem like they want him on their team. They don't want to give him... They want him on the team for this year. They don't want to give him a contract extension. They don't want to be giving money into his year 31-32 season. And if somebody has stepped up and offered him a first-round pick, they would have taken that at this point for Trey Hendrickson. So I think that you could, you know, not have to offer a first-round pick, But the problem is you'd have to pay him. And if Goody could just give up a fifth-round pick and have Trey Hendrickson for this upcoming year, I think he might do it. But I don't think he wants to give a contract extension to a guy who's going to be 31, 32 years old.
Yeah, the interesting thing here, and I've been quite locked into this, is Trey Hendrickson isn't even requesting highest money at the Eds position. He's requesting money to be given some sort of guarantee and to be paid like one of the respective defensive ends in all the league. The guy has like more sacks than anyone the past 3 years. He had the most in the NFL last year. The thing here that gives me a glimmer of hope, and maybe it's just hope casting, wish casting, is Trey Hendrickson game, the way he plays, fits a style that ages better than most. You would compare it to more of a Reggie White style than a Von Miller. He's power. He's not a bendy guy. It's not so much based off of pure athleticism and explosiveness. It's strong. It's effort. There's more ways to win than just being, I'm going to be faster around the edge than the guy in front of me that's trying to block me. It's a type of game that, I mean, he's gotten better and better as he's gotten older and older.
Yeah, his best two seasons have been his last two seasons.
Right, and that's telling me that's a guy who's not only getting better and sort of becoming more of a technician, it's about being a good football player more than it is, I'm simply stronger, faster, bendier than the guy in front of me. The one piece, and Chewy's mentioned it a million, million times, is the double whammy. Having to give up an asset along with having to pay Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
And that's the one piece of me that makes me think, yeah, that's probably, because let's call a spade here. Brian Gutekunst values draft. funny you mentioned that. Brian Gutekunst values his draft picks too much. He values them higher than probably any other franchise in the NFL in terms of what it would require to... There's a reason the Packers are always trading people away for picks and never acquiring people for picks.
Correct.
It's because they view those picks as way more valuable than most teams. Like, I know for a fact they value them more than the Rams.
Oh, I mean, but everybody values draft picks
bleep
more
them
than the
picks.
Yeah, everybody values draft picks more than the Rams.
And I think that's something the Packers are probably been a little left behind in terms of team building. They value those future assets and what those assets might be because of the price control and
look, Josh,
the youth.
I firmly believe that Goody would be into this for the 1 year.
Yes.
Like, if he could trade a fifth or a sixth round pick and just go, hey, yeah, we'll pay you for 1 year, Trey, and then maybe we'll figure it out, maybe we won't. Maybe you'll just become a free agent. I think Goody would sign up for that today. But if you trade for Trey Hendrickson, you're going to have to give him a new deal because that's the big issue he's got right now with Cincinnati.
Right.
And he's not going to do it. He's not going to give a new deal to a guy who is 30 this year, who's going to turn 31 next year. And then because typically when you're signing these contracts, again, it depends upon the length of the deal, but you're guaranteeing money up front and potentially into year two to kind of spread out your salary cap hit. And Goody's not going to want to do it for a 31, 32-year-old. And everything you said made sense. He's got a great game. I think it is going to translate because he's more of a strength guy. Like, do I think he's going to be having 17 and a half sacks in 2 years? Probably not. But do I think he's still going to be a double-digit sack guy?
I'd
be the
kill
Packers
for
11. Best? That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that he would instantly become the Packers' best pass rusher since...
Clay Matthews.
Yeah. Instantly.
Z'Darrius Smith had a good run.
Yeah,
there.
You know what? You're right. We just because Z'Darrius is
right. He did some things.
Yeah, just
fell apart. He was very good. For a while.
He was very good. Yes. He was very good. Yes. We shouldn't drive past Z'Darrius like that. But yes, he would instantly become their best pass rusher. I think he could have upwards of 14, 15 sacks next year. I think he could still have 10 or 11 by the time the deal ends. But it just doesn't seem like something that Brian Gutekunst would do. If they could get him for a Julius Peppers type of contract,
right?
Maybe. And Julius was one of those guys when he came in, again, that was a Ted Thompson deal, where he had an impact on the pack. Didn't have double-digit sacks the first year, still had a huge impact, had a couple interceptions, had that pick six, I think he had 8.5 or 9 sacks, then had double-digit sacks in year two. Like, Trey Hendrickson would be one of their best defensive players. And I think that if you could work out some sort of short-term deal, a 2 or 3 year deal, that'd be fantastic. But it just seems like if you're not going to pick up the phone and call Davante Adams when you had a need there, just to see, just to check in, if you're not making that phone call when that would not have cost you a draft pick, you're not making the phone call for the presumably more expensive player that is also going to cost you a draft pick.
The one thing, and we got hung up on the Goody saying we need urgency, and that meant more for the players than it did for him, and we had that whole discussion. Wouldn't it make things awfully urgent in that defensive edge room if you brought in the best guy?
Yeah.
And you looked at Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness and said, here's the standard. You don't meet it. We're moving on.
Josh, you're not arguing with me, pal. You're not arguing with me. Everything you said, I have agreed with every single word that you have said. That all makes sense to me. Like, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, you don't have to sell me. Everything you said, yeah, I love it all. But the problem is I'm not Brian Gutekunst. And I don't have these hard and fast rules about guys, seemingly hard and fast rules about guys that reach their 30th birthday.
What I'm having a hard time figuring out here is, what do the Packers view as their Super Bowl window? Or do they think that's even a real phrase? Because you would envision, based on paying your starting quarterback,
yep,
and building the team the way they have, is this is the window. This
would be the start of the window.
Right. To the end of Jordan Love's extension that he signed, mm-hmm, you would consider this your Super Bowl window. This would be the time when you kind of push all your chips in. We haven't seen a push all the chips in, and you can argue about it if it was actually that or not, but it was towards the end of Aaron Rodgers' career. They were extending people. They were pushing money into the future, a lot of which they are now just sort of getting out from underneath, and they're pretty cap healthy in terms of dead cap and people that are being paid to not even be on the team anymore. If it's not now, when is it? Or is it just something they think, our Super Bowl window is as long as we have a franchise quarterback?
In perpetuity.
And it's just, either we get there, bites at the apples, to reference the aforementioned Pat Murphy and the Brewers. It seems like the NFL to me is the window league of, you have your guy, you have him at a price, and you push all the chips in, and then you figure out in 3-4 years, well, it didn't work, we got to retool, we got to go back to... It doesn't seem like that's the way Brian Gutekunst views team building at all, or the Packers for that matter.
Because it's pretty risky. It's a risky way to do it. If you're constantly competitive, and you're able to hit a couple of these draft picks every now and then you're able to kind of just be this steady, competitive team that hopefully you get it done. And they just haven't been able to get it done over the last handful of years. Would this player help? Yes, this player would help. It seems so far out of character for Brian Gutekunst to actually make this happen, even though he is just sitting out there dangling for teams. But at the same time, if somebody came to the Bengals with a Godfather offer, I have zero doubt that the Bengals would just accept it at this point.
Trey Hendrickson said it's gotten personal.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's a thing you don't really hear athletes say.
When instead of... And again, I don't know if Zach Taylor was doing this on his own. Don't know if Zach Taylor was acting because his general manager or owner told him he had to. When you send a letter to someone saying, hey, if you're not at the mandatory part of offseason, just a reminder, you're going to get fined. We're not going to rescind those fines. Like, you do that in a letter instead of just... In 2025, like when you just pick up your phone and FaceTime or just give a call, just, hey, man, we really want you here. Hopefully we figure this contract stuff out. But reminder, hey, but we are going to have to fine you if this happens. By sending a formal letter, when things are already getting pretty tense, that feels more personal than anything
else. The thing is, Zach Taylor isn't even the one issuing those fines. That's the front office.
Yeah, but he's the one who apparently sent the letter.
Right, and that's what makes it weird is... Matt LaFleur has done a really good job whenever there's been disputes between the front office and the players. He's sort of the I'm on your side guy.
Yeah.
And Zach Taylor no, we're going to fine your ass.
Yeah, which is kind of what you need,
right?
I think, in order to keep order in the locker room. But it's a weird situation in Cincinnati. We could continue these conversations, especially when Matt Bowen, who's a really smart NFL guy. Yeah, this does make sense for the Packers.
We didn't even talk about Jair to the Chargers.
I mean, they're cutting Jair, right?
It feels like the longer it goes on without... Because it feels like if he's coming back and he agrees to the contract, you guys would just be able to hammer it out. Here's what we're willing to pay you.
Yeah.
Play with under this or not. All right, well, then you're gone.
This is one of the weirder...
Yeah.
The Jair situation is one of the weirder personnel situations I can remember for the Packers. Because it all kind of seems... Because, again, if you were confident that he was coming back, wouldn't Jeff Hafley... Oh, man, can't wait to have Jair back.
Yep.
Instead, he punted on it last week.
Yes.
Just absolutely punted it away. We do have... We kind of danced around it. There's some interesting sound that caught Joshie and Mai's attention from the Brewers from over the weekend. They're not playing their best baseball. Offense is pretty stinky right now. They've been shut out. They followed the same pattern the last two series. Get shut out the first two games, and then the bats kind of wake up in game three. And now they find themselves a couple games below 500. Pat Murphy getting a little frustrated. Said something that was just really weird. We're going to get into that in hour two. Also, when do you get upset when your sports are cut into? We dive into all that. But I do want to tell you that your next round of golf is going to be happening for you. It should happen for you at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what I did. Join out at the Wisconsin Country Club. I've been out there for almost 2 years at this point. Some of the things that I like, no assessments, no food and beverage minimums. But the best part for me, as the avid golfer, beautiful golf course, fun, challenging, that's absolutely meticulously maintained. It is a fantastic golf course that you are going to have fun playing. But maybe you have a family. You want to play tennis, you want to play pickleball, pool with themed Sunday fun days every week. Maybe if we actually ever get warm weather, the pool will open at Wisconsin Country Club, because that's, again, that's not on them. It's 40 degrees outside. Who wants to go to a pool? But you can get started today. Visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fair way away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
pierogies birthday. And borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Joshie, are you one of those people who gets upset if you're watching a game? ABC, Fox, CBS, and one of the over-the-air broadcast networks that have local news. When your sporting event gets cut into?
No, this has long been something that irks me the other way, especially with the severe weather we just saw here in Wisconsin, of the people complaining about the tornado warnings or the severe weather that affects the game they're watching, or when it's on the scroll and you can't see the score bug. It has long made me mad seeing people react to, hey, there's weather here that could affect the entire rest of your life.
Yeah, so
if you're not prepared for it.
I am 100% on board with weather things.
Yeah.
Because again, a lot of times that ends up being, if it's severe enough, it's life or death situation.
Correct.
As we just saw with a bunch of the tornadoes that touched down more north of here up in Dodge County, close to my home where I grew up. But so New Orleans cut into the final round of the PGA Championship yesterday, Joshie, for a press conference. Just a press conference from the governor, giving, from what I can gather, not much of an update on 10 escaped convicts from a New Orleans jail.
Yeah.
Apparently they escaped on Friday. They had this press conference yesterday. But it wasn't really newsworthy, from my understanding, even though all these stations in New Orleans cut into it, and people were upset because the PGA Championship was upended by a press. Would you be upset if you saw the governor not really giving an update on a situation, but still having a press conference upending the sporting event you were watching?
Yeah, the reason this one kind of... it's a new wrinkle to something we've seen happen many, many times. It is the, well... We're interrupting what you're watching right now for what could be deemed as a threat, I suppose. I mean, I don't know what these gentlemen who escaped from the jail are accused of.
So I don't know what they are either, but just reading some of the stories about it over the weekend, ten escaped. They have captured three.
Yeah.
But all 10 consider to be armed. You should consider them to be armed
right,
and dangerous.
And any...
So this, yeah. So when this happened on Friday, like downtown places in New Orleans were like, hey, key card only. They were like tightening up security.
Right.
But again, I think this would be different if, hey, 10 guys are on the loose. Be on the lookout.
Right.
If that happened during
Correct.
The championship. This happened on Friday. They were doing an update press conference. From my understanding, did not give much of an update on the situation yesterday.
Right, and it's an interesting wrinkle, too, of, I don't, and maybe I'm missing it, but I don't feel like there's many escapes from jail or prison happening in 2025 anymore. So there is a level of, like, what is the immediate threat that would make this newsworthy to cut into versus, like, this is so unique. I guess I don't know how, like, put that in a situation here. If we were broadcasting a Brewers game on 620 WTMJ, I think it's kind of important for the listeners to know what's happening with the 10 escaped prisoners.
I think if you actually have an update, if you're just holding a press conference to hold a press conference to, like, try to boost your political capital. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. See, no, that, I'm all the way out on that. And that's what this, from everything I've read, that's what this seemed to be.
Well, and that's the problem, though, because the news organization who's running that doesn't have an idea what the governor's going to do in that situation.
Correct.
Maybe there is something valuable in that, but in that case, you probably should just record it and then play it sort of back,
yeah,
like the relevant information.
The one other thing I want to mention about this.
You talking about the picture?
Of how they escaped?
Yeah. Let me see if I can put on the stream here real quick.
Okay.
Vamp for me for a bit.
All right, I'll vamp. So again, as Joshy mentioned, like, people escaping prison, it doesn't seem like it's happening all that often in 2025. Security measures and being what they are, you know, law enforcement, pretty smart about how they've built these prisons. This picture, after starting to do, again, once I realized we were going to talk about this today, you start doing some research. The inmates are believed to escape through a hole behind a toilet in a cell. And the agency of down in New Orleans shared photos of a rectangular cutout. And above, so you can see the jail cell for those who, as Josh is working to put the picture up. If you're just listening on radio, you can see the jail cell and where the toilet and sink, it's one unit and where it is. They were able to move that away, and there's just a hole right behind it where the piping comes in. Like, they just, it doesn't look like they were able, like, that hole just existed there, I think. They moved the toilet and then decided, not only was escaping enough for them, they decided to taunt this New Orleans jail by putting above the cutout, "Too easy, LOL." And they were able to escape prison. The escapees went out from there through a loading dock, scaled the exterior wall to freedom, according to authorities. And then from there, it was a clear path to the interstate. Not that this is necessarily a laughing matter. Again, 10 people escaping from prison in New Orleans, you should probably, you know, obviously consider them armed and dangerous, as they have. But seeing just the picture that was remaining of how they escaped.
I'm having trouble getting it up here. But yeah, the best part about it is it's misspelled.
It doesn't say T-O-O, just T-O.
Too easy.
T-O-E-Z, L-O-L.
And now, if you can find them, it's very easy to find the picture. I'm having trouble getting it up there. There still seems to be, like, rebar in there. Like,
yeah.
I'm having a hard time figuring out how they, unless that was, like, bendable and they were able to cut through it. But it seems like you'd have to be pretty damn thin to get through those. And I saw the video of the guys running out. Not the smallest fellas.
Yeah. Typically, you're not. You know? So that was the thing I thought as well. And maybe, but too easy, LOL, is the picture that they put up. All right, we will get back because there is some interesting sound from over the weekend and Brewers manager Pat Murphy. We dive into that. Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy starts in 2 minutes.